It's time for the Believer, Unbeliever, and In-Betweener podcast. Join in on the conversation as three friends discuss socially relevant topics in view of biblical truth, where scripture meets skepticism. Welcome your hosts, Stephanie, Michelle, and Cheryl.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Believer, the Unbeliever, and the In-Betweener podcast. I'm Stephanie, the Believer of the group.
I'm Cheryl, the Unbeliever of the group.
And I am Michelle, the In-Betweener of the group. And welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, so today we're going to be discussing the topic of gaslighting.
I love this topic.
Yeah. So I know good. I was a recent victim of this myself. So, yeah, this is a great topic. Why don't I kick us off with a definition? Just for those who have never heard that term before. So I got this definition off Psychology Today, and this is what it says. To gaslight is to psychologically manipulate a person, usually over an extended period of time, so that the victim questions the validity of their own thoughts, perception of reality, or memories, and experiences confusion, loss of confidence and self-esteem, and doubts concerning their own emotional or mental stability. It goes on to say, and there's one more piece of the definition. Number two, it says to grossly mislead or deceive someone, especially for one's own advantage. So I think that sort of gives us all an idea of how to define it. And Cheryl, would you share with the listeners where this term gaslight or gaslighting came from?
Yeah, I just want to also share a definition that I have as well, because it's the audience really needs to understand that it's certainly psychological abuse. There's no question about that. And it's actually a grooming process. The phrase to gaslight refers to the act of undermining another person's reality. Plain and simple.
But that's my childhood.
Yeah. It's by denying facts, by denying the environment around them, by denying their feelings. The targets of gaslighting are manipulated into turning against their own cognition, their own emotions, and who they fundamentally are as people. And it comes in two parts, and we'll get into this deeper, but it always comes into two parts. It's not only the denial of reality, but it also includes kind of flipping the issue back onto the other person and telling them that there's something wrong with them. So,
yes.
You know, they're being petty, they're being stupid, they're being crazy, they're being sensitive, right? So,
yeah.
And over time, and this is why I'm calling it a grooming process, because it happens over and over, and over time, the blame shift to the victim. It becomes accepted and just the way it is, okay?
I'm busting. I need a question. I have to ask a question.
Yeah.
Does a person like do they know that they're gaslighting? Like, is this something that they actually think of? Because can it be one part? For instance, when I was younger, like my mom, you know, she's mean, you know, like now she's okay. We get along great now. But when I was younger, she used to say things to me like that were verbally abusive. And then I would be sensitive. She'd go, "Oh, you're just too sensitive. Oh, there's nothing wrong. Like, what do you like?" She would turn it around like there was nothing wrong with what she just said or what I just went through or whatever it was. Like, she would just downplay it like it was nothing. It was no big deal. And I can't imagine, but that's the only thing that I could really remember. Would that be considered gaslighting? Can somebody gaslight with one of those categories that you gave? And is it something that they pre-think about? Like, oh, I'm just going to turn it around. I'm going to be this way to somebody. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I was going to get to that in a little bit, but
we can address it
or I'll address it real quickly.
Okay.
The people who do this Yes, it's most often in a romantic relationship, or yes, it's most often in a parent-child, boss-subordinate. I mean, it's any power dynamic, to be blunt, right? It's any unequalness of power dynamic. But it's not always with evil intent, all right? Anyone can gaslight. I mean, it's a socially learned behavior. And people can do it knowing or not knowing. Okay. But it
I
almost
would agree with
doesn't
that.
matter in terms of whether it's happening to you or not. But we can get to all that.
Yeah, see, I did it
And
to my
yes,
daughter,
Michelle,
and I
that
didn't
is
realize.
gaslighting what your mother did because she's trying to get you to deny what you experience. And then she went on to put you down. Oh, you're too sensitive.
Yeah,
I mean, that
always.
is gaslighting.
That was my whole thing was you're too sensitive. Oh, you're just and but I will say my daughter actually brought it to my attention, like because when I asked that other question that, you know, with the is it pre something you think of, it says I did it to her and I didn't even know I was doing it. Like I was like, oh no, it's it, oh that no, you don't feel that way. Like I because I was trying to make her feel better. Like it was something she was going through, whatever. And I was like, no, you're that's not, you know, I did that, you know. And she was like, you're gaslighting me. And I was like, that was before I even knew what that meant. I was like, what the heck is that? Like, what do you mean I'm gaslighting you? Like, what? But she knew
I
what it
mean,
was.
there's the two types, right? There's the evil intent for, an agenda of manipulation to get a result. But there's also I could gaslight you because I'm trying to avoid a really uncomfortable conversation with you. So I might, I might lie or something to get out of it, but it's not an evil intent.
Good. Cool. All right.
But before we get
Anything?
too far into the show, Cheryl, do you want to share like where the name gaslighting came from?
Yes, I wanted to share where it came from, which came from a 1938 mystery thriller written by a British playwright, Patrick Hamilton, called Gaslight. And it was made into a popular movie in 1944, starring Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer with the same name. Okay, so in the film, husband Gregory manipulates his adoring, trusting heiress wife, Paula. He manipulates her into believing she can no longer trust her own perceptions of reality. And he does this by secretly dimming and brightening the gas-powered lighting in the house, but insisting his wife is imagining it, making her think she's going insane. And he does this with evil intent of declaring her mentally ill and stealing all her money because she's rich, right? So he's trying to drive her insane by flickering the lights and telling her it's not happening. Now, the interesting thing is the term gaslighting itself is neither in the screenplay nor mentioned anywhere in the film in any context. It's just that the term gaslighting was born just out of that whole experience and the use of the flickering of the lights. So I thought that was very interesting. And we'll get to what happens at the end of the movie later.
Did you see the movie?
But I
Did you
have.
watch it? Oh, wow. Okay.
I have. It's quite fascinating. But I wanted to add that the term also from there began appearing in academic circles before it kind of hit the mainstream. And I know now everyone's kind of throwing it around, so let's make sure we, define it correctly so people know exactly what it is. But its use does go back to the 1980s in academic journal circles, focusing on women's socialization, experts were actually postulating that women were trained to long and hunger for relationships and connections, which then conditioned them to be vulnerable to exploitation of their attachment partner, which is exactly what gaslighting is. It's being, on the lesser end of the power struggle and being vulnerable and trusting the other person more than yourself. So
That's very
you
easy. That's easy for me to do. I'm
it
so trusting.
actually it reminds me going back even further, remember when women were considered hysterical all the time? It's like it reminds me of that.
So I'm looking at our questions list here that we have, and one of the questions is, you know, what people do it? Like who gaslights? How would we answer that?
Well,
Husband.
like I said, it's usually a romantic partner, which they often call the gaslight tango. It's usually narcissists and cluster B personality disorders. That's sort of the most known. So it's someone who has to maintain control and their position of power. So that would be a narcissist or a sociopath or a psychopath. It's often politicians and the media. You know, I'm sure we're all familiar with the fear mongering or the, you know, don't believe what you see. Just listen to me type of talk from politicians. That's absolutely gaslighting. It could be a boss at work, right? You never put that report on my desk and you're certain you did, right? So it's always someone probably either in authority to you or you think they're in authority to you, like your husband. But like I said, anyone can do it at any time. The three of us can be guilty of it at times, you know, to avoid an uncomfortable conversation that we don't want to have. But again, I don't think the codependent types are, I mean, I think they'll do the lying part, but I'm not sure they're going to do the condescending part. So you know, you could deny something that you really did do, but it really the part is flipping it and saying, you know, oh, you're paranoid. Why do you think I did that? And so you're kind of deflecting. I mean, that's really where it gets to the gaslighting part instead of just an outright denial or lie. So it's really the codependence or the empath that, or any highly sensitive person, they're more susceptible to it because they don't trust themselves as much and they kind of give more power to the other person. So,
That's me. That's so me.
That
Wow.
person can say it's raining outside when you see sun, and instead of trusting your own visual cue, you're trusting them more and you're saying, well, they think it's raining and I respect them and I they're better than me or they're more respectable than me, so I must be missing something. You know,
See,
I must be seeing something wrong.
and that's the problem I'm having in my life today, is because that when I was younger, that's how my mom treated me. She gaslit everything. I wasn't allowed to have emotions. I wasn't allowed to do anything, you know, feel anything. So I always second guess myself to the point where I'll give you an example. Like my sister, you know, she's 11 months older than me, and my mother like respected her or believed her or listened to her more than me, to the point where, let's say, you know, we're looking at a cell phone, right? And I'll say, Mom, this is a cell phone. And my sister would say, No, that's a cow. My mother would be like, Michelle, that's a cow. Lisa said it's a cow. So you know, I
Bible
wasn't.
gaslighting. The whole family gaslights you,
Yeah, so it was
which
right.
is
It was so,
harder, which is harder.
yeah. So that's
Right. If
actually,
you have five
that's.
people saying it's a cow, of course you're going to question yourself.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, yeah, so I that's how I grew up. I grew up with second guessing myself, and now I'm an adult and I do that now. I give the other person the power. I give my husband the power. And you know, there are times he gaslit me and I didn't even know it was called gaslighting, but yeah, it's so how does a person, well, yeah, well, I'm sure we'll get into that, but how does a person I don't know, like
Recognize
recognize
it?
it, yeah, recognize it, and how do you deal with it? Like how would I deal with that? Like what would you tell me, like if it's happening to me?
Well, I could share one thing. I've been gaslit a few times in my life. It's not something that I've experienced a lot of, but the few times that it has happened, I found myself doing a couple things. One, asking myself, like, am I the one going crazy? Right? Like you sort of for a quick second find yourself like checking in with yourself a little too often, where it's like, Because they're trying to get you to deny your reality. So they'll lie or they'll change the narrative or they'll deny. I never said that. I never did that. That didn't happen. And you're thinking to yourself, did it not happen? And did I not hear it right? And you sort of like, and when it's like Cheryl said in the beginning, it's a process of breaking you down. And when it happens repetitively, there is that tendency to start like questioning yourself, like, am I losing my marbles? Right? Like you start to think you're going crazy. And then the other thing I noticed was you find yourself wanting to record conversations, right?
Interesting.
Where, and I know for me that happened where I was like, and you do it. I was doing it for two reasons. One, to make sure I was understanding it correctly, right? Like I wanted to make sure something wrong with the way I'm hearing something, right? And then also I before I understood this more, I thought it could be used as an accountability tool. But then I later realized even if you do record the conversation and then you share that recording with someone who's doing this, oftentimes they're still not going to take accountability. That's sort of part of the issue too, is you can have a videotape, you're
Oh,
guilty here's the
they'll double
video,
down. They'll
right? Yeah, and they'll be
absolutely double
like,
down.
yeah, they'll double down, Cheryl, right? They'll be like, either, they'll say, well, I only did that because you're just so unbearable to live with, right? Like everything will blame shift back to you and they'll never take accountability. So back to the question, how do you recognize it? I know there's other ways to recognize it. I just know for me, in my experience, it was those two things. The tendency to feel like you're at a point where you want to record the conversation because they just, it's like a broken record. Like, I never did that. I never said that. That's not true. You're like, okay, either I'm nuts or something's going on here, right?
I'm
But how do
laughing
you,
because
how,
it I'm
yeah.
laughing because it reminds me, Steph, that song, It
What?
Wasn't Me by
Yeah. All right. It wasn't me. Right.
Cherokee.
Exactly. That's like the Gaslighters anthem, right?
How do you get Gaslighter's anthem, right? Wasn't
That's funny. I have one more question about, well, I have a question. So let's say, because this actually just ha recently happened with the recording thing. I don't know how I could record this. So I wrote something. My mother-in-law passed away, and I wrote something for her memorial. And then I read it to my mom. I read it to her, and what I put in it was something from my childhood. There was a part where I said, when I met you were cuddling on the couch, and that's something that I was not used to seeing. So I read it to my mom, and she's like, "Oh, that's not true. We were very affectionate." And I'm thinking, "What? Like, so she's making me think like I'm." Like, yeah, like I'm crazy. Like they were affectionate and I saw them hug. Never. I never. So how do you record it? It's like, I don't know. It's just, yeah, I should. So that just recently happened to me where my mother was denying, my childhood, what I remembered. So now I have to second guess and question my childhood. I'm like, if I continued to talk to my mother about my childhood, she would deny the whole thing. I would be like, "Oh my gosh, did I?"
Probably. It's very
Right.
possible, yeah.
Wow,
But
I didn't even realize that.
yet if she's denying it, does that mean it didn't happen?
Right.
Right.
That's what I was
Well,
thinking. How do you then determine, is it me? Is it you or is it her?
right? Oh my gosh,
Yeah.
see, and that's my confidence. That's where, yeah,
Do your feelings not matter because you felt that it didn't happen, that you didn't get it. That was your feeling.
Right.
So does your feeling not count, regardless of if the whole room said we didn't do that? Your
Yeah, that's in that.
recollection of the experience is that it didn't, that
Right.
you didn't get it.
Right.
So that
And that
makes it a
and
fact for you,
right. Yeah,
right?
it makes it a fact. But I have to, but being that I've been, gaslit my whole childhood, it's like it makes me say, well, my feelings don't matter, then because that's how I was groomed, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, wow, I'm learning something today.
Cheryl, is there
Nice.
anything else that you can add to the question, how does one recognize, wow, I'm being gaslit right now?
Well, I mean, did we cover all the, I mean, first we should probably cover a lot more of the warning signs, I would say. So,
Actually, you know what? I just thought of one real quick. Can I just
yeah,
insert
go
this
ahead.
before we pivot? One of the things that just came up in my mind as a sign to recognize if we're getting gaslit is, and again, this was part of my experience as well, is the person who's gaslighting, doing the gaslighting, will turn it around on you to make you the bad guy. So, for example, what I mean by that is if they're being abusive toward you, they'll tell you you're being abusive towards them. If they are the narcissist, they'll call you the narcissist, right? It's sort of like the very thing that they're doing to you is what they'll turn around and then it accused you of doing to them. That was interesting.
That's what makes it so easy to recognize.
Yeah, right. And that's where like we have to have such a footing and be so grounded in ourselves. So, and very intentional about how we're approaching our discussions with people so that when someone flips it around and says, "Oh, you're being abusive." Why? Because I set a boundary that you don't like. That's not abuse. And really being able to hold your ground and know yourself and know the truth in that situation, I think is really important because it's so easy to get sucked into it and start questioning yourself, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, because you didn't you question yourself because you didn't know you were being gaslit when
Well,
that was happening
I
to you.
started, it was a while since I've experienced it, and I remember taking a step back because in the situation I experienced, this individual was denying everything that took place that I was trying to have a conversation about. And it just coincidentally happened that I had a witness to the event. So I will be honest, that helped me by having someone who was there witnessing the situation with me, allowed for me to just know that I was like, I knew that I knew that I knew that that it wasn't me, right? You know what I'm saying? It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. That's
That
please insert that.
when I would say, you know, well, this is what was said or this is what was done, and the individual was like, that never happened. I never said that. That's not true. I was able to know that I was being gaslit, that they were trying to change the narrative to get me to not hold them accountable and blame shift, you know? Yeah. And so I called both of you. I remember and just said, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And Cheryl, I know you were really helpful in helping me to confirm that, yeah, textbook, textbook, you know.
I've studied this a long time.
Yeah. So getting back, Cheryl, to what you were getting ready to say before I inserted that little nugget there.
I have no idea.
Oh,
But
you were saying you wanted to share like more information.
I know that we love Dr. Romney on YouTube, who's a clinical psychologist and an author, and she really has a lot of great content on this. And
Yeah, I watched her.
you know, one of her big ways of shutting down a gaslighter is to learn how to stick to your reality
Yeah.
and you know, hold on to your reality. You know, this is my reality and you can't take it away from me. This is what I saw, this is what I experienced, this is how I feel. It's mine. Okay. And also, I thought it was cool when I was listening to her the other day and she was talking about the blame shifting and how we have to recognize and learn how to keep the issue at hand or the topic at hand on focus. So if you say, you know, if you say to your spouse, you forgot the milk at the store, and your spouse says, well, you know, you gave me too long of a grocery list. I mean, that's not the length of the grocery list is not the issue. The issue is you
Yeah.
forgot the milk. So you
Yeah.
can't let them divert to a different issue, right? You have to
Yeah.
say, who cares if I, you know, the length of the list doesn't matter. You didn't question it before. you forgot the milk, and keep on the topic. That's called blame shifting.
Yeah.
You know, or I cheated because you're never around. Okay, well, now I have to defend how often I'm around. No, you cheated. We're talking about that. So you have to learn to keep the topic on hand.
I think that's a great point. I had a professor once use the term verbal kung fu. And I
yes.
love that. It's like they do that verbal kung fu where they're trying to trip you up. They're trying to divert your attention from the topic. So I think that's a really good point. And just for the listeners, we'll go ahead and in the description of the podcast, we'll link Dr. Romani's channel for those who want to take a listen.
And, you know, I thought it was interesting, too, in some of my research that there's actually two stages to a gaslighting event. And one of them, for the victim of it anyway, the gaslighted, is one is a disbelief, right? So you kind of can't believe what just happened, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like, huh? And what was that? And is it me? Right? So you're kind of in this confused disbelief moment.
Yeah.
And then it immediately shifts you to stage two, which is defense. And then the next thing you know, you're doing all the work to defend, you know, your reality. Right. But in that dance of you proving your belief or your feeling, the gaslighter gets away with what they just did.
Mm.
Right. So now you're defending yourself. You know, if they call you sensitive, now you're talking about how you're not sensitive and you're proving that you're not sensitive. And everybody forgets about the event
exactly,
that just took place. Right? Yeah.
Right.
So you, that's what you have to recognize. That you're doing that dance.
Yeah. So let's
right? And when someone, you know, I can give you a good example, like what I used to do. And I think this happens to a lot of us. So I think it's very relatable. You ever ask someone a question and they respond with, well, what about you? Like they, you know, where were you last night? And they respond with, well, where were you last night?
Yeah, they answer a question with a question.
Is it Jesus?
Yeah.
Answer Jesus.
Hey, Cheryl, you know, wasn't that in a Frasier episode? You answer a question with a question?
Yes.
Remember?
Well, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, but, and I think, especially women, I'm sure, we were raised to, you know, defend our position or be proper or whatever. So if someone said, if I ask someone, where were you last night? And they say to me, well, where were you? I start explaining where I was because
I know.
They asked me where I was and I'm going to answer the question because I'm a normal person.
Right. And then they just got away with not answering.
But you can't forget. Exactly. You can't, like in this situation, it is not appropriate for me to answer where I was. In this situation, it's appropriate for me to go, I can tell you that in a moment, but I just asked you where you were
exactly.
And you're not answering me.
Right.
You gotta, you know, you gotta remember to put it back on them instead of defend yourself.
Great point.
I just wanted to share that.
Great point.
Well, what else? What else we got? Good. Good stuff.
Well, I think we're starting to go here with this question. How does one respond to being gaslit and how does one shut it down? I think Cheryl, what you just gave as an example is one example. Not allowing ourselves to be diverted from from the topic. So for example, let's go back to somebody saying, I don't remember saying that. That never happened. And you're thinking to yourself, yeah, it did. And you know for a fact it did. What do you do? You know, one thing we could try is saying to the person, well, it's unfortunate you don't remember that, but that's my recollection of it. Right? Like you don't have to agree with them and say,
right.
Or question yourself. You can hold what we should be doing is holding our ground. Don't be manipulated, because like when we go back to the definition, it's a form of manipulation. It's a form of psychological abuse for the intent to control. And if they can throw you off center, then they're going to get control of that narrative, and we have to remain in control of that narrative. And again, it goes back to how sure are we about ourselves, about our feelings, about what happened. Yeah, I think it's normal for healthy people to take a moment to make sure that, what role did I play in that? I think that's normal and healthy, but we have to be careful when we're dealing with people like this, not to go too far with that, right? Because then before you know it, we'll end up like holding the whole bag and they'll be getting away with murder. So, yeah. Just maybe giving the listeners and just talking amongst ourselves some how-tos, how to respond when we begin to notice we're being gaslit. One thing you shouldn't do is record. Like that whole, oh, next time we have this conversation, I'm going to record it. Like, that's not the way to respond to
Well, you can do it for yourself, but just
it.
understand that the
Well,
other person is not going to concede.
Yeah, it's not right. I mean, if you need it, right, Cheryl, that's a good point. Like if you feel you need to run the recorder on your phone for the conversation, so later you can just check in with yourself and just make sure, like, yeah, okay, this is not
I
me.
didn't make that
This,
up.
yeah, I'm not making this up. This is really happening. Sure. Then it might be beneficial. What else? Like, what else?
Well, I would say if you feel like you're in a power struggle with the person, like if you're fighting over who's right and wrong, I mean, that's a sign, because it's not about right and wrong. It's about how do I feel? So focus on your feelings. If I feel that this happened, or I see that this happened, right? Whether it's feelings or reality, but it's not a power struggle. And once you feel like that, that's where you have to kind of break that off and say, I know what I saw, or I know how I feel. And that's the end of it. I don't have to prove it to you. I don't have to prove that I'm right.
Yeah.
It's
And
just
let's
not
talk
important.
about what a healthy person would say in a situation like that. Like, a healthy person would say, oh, wow, okay. So when I said that to you, that made you feel like that. Okay. What could I do differently so that you don't feel like that next time? Or, right, where it,
Right.
like you said, it's not a power struggle where the person's trying to defend or deflect or lie or change the narrative or make you feel some sort of way about yourself, like, oh, you're too sensitive, or you're being abusive, right? It's because when people are doing that, what they're not doing is they're not receiving you. They're not willing to hear your side of things. And to your point, Cheryl, if a person feels hurt by something, then they feel hurt by something, right? It's like
Right, you can't take that
you can't take
away.
that
You
away
can't
from that
deny it.
person. Yeah, like so Michelle, with your mom, okay, arguing about what did and didn't happen 30 years ago, okay, is sort of irrelevant to a point, because it's like, well, you felt hurt, right? And you know, instead of your mom just jumping right to gaslighting or denying and then making you know, the bad guy, like you're too sensitive, something's wrong with you. Like they have to make
Right.
you wrong, right? In
Yeah.
some way that you're flawed. There's something flawed about you because I'm
Yeah.
perfect. You're the one that's flawed, right? That kind of setup. You know,
Yeah. I always liken it to a game of catch, just to simplify it. You can say all day long that you threw the ball to me, but I didn't catch it. So it's still just a fact that I didn't catch it. I don't care if you threw it. What if you threw it in the other direction? All I know is I didn't catch it. So that's what happened to me.
Right.
So
And
what
then in
you,
healthy relationships, there should be space for that. There will be
right.
space for that.
Right. Like
Yeah.
even like an apology, like I'm sorry, I didn't mean, like for instance, I did it to my daughter and I didn't know I did it to her. And I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't know I did that. I never meant to do that, you know? So that's
Right, you took accountability,
right.
which is the healthy
Yeah.
response. Instead of saying, no, that didn't happen, that would have been
Right.
gaslighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's a I mean I know we've said this already in the podcast, but again, just to highlight, that's another red flag, lack of accountability. Now, every now and then, I'm sure everybody will stumble once in a while with that, but it's like this, people like this never take accountability. It's like, remember, it's a process. Oftentimes, it's like an ongoing process of breaking a person down. And so that's another thing to also tune into. Has this person ever taken accountability? You know? And how to shut it down? That's another question we have here. How do we shut it down? Like, how do we get ourselves untangled from someone who is gaslighting us chronically?
Well, one of my favorite ways is to simply question them. Kind of play dumb, and it's a subtle clap back. Question them, calmly ask them to explain their position. Right? I mean, I don't know that I there's an example. I don't know if it's really relevant, but it reminds me of this where a girl was, maybe I saw this online somewhere, but a girl was saying her boss was telling her that she had the voice of a what do you call it, like a sex worker on
Oh,
the
okay,
phone,
yeah.
like a sexy voice. And like he said something like, "Oh, you have such a great voice, you should do this." And she's like, "What do you mean?" And he's like, "I'm just joking, stop being sensitive." And she's like, "No, I really don't know what you mean. Like, can you explain to me what you're saying?" And then of course they can't say anything because then they're gonna look like an idiot. Right. So, you ask them to lay out the explanation for what it is they're accusing you of, or, because they're not going to have anything. So, but just say it calmly, like, can you explain why I'm, if I just ask you a question, for example, this used to happen with my boyfriends all the time. I ask a question and the response would be, ugh, I don't want to get into an argument about this. Can you calm down? And I'm
Oh,
like, I
yeah.
just asked you a question in a calm fashion,
Right.
right? Now that would be my response, the angry response of, I was just asking a question. But maybe if I said something like, oh, can you point out the part where I was arguing with you?
Oh, that's good. That's a
Like
good one, Cheryl. I
they
like
can't do
I
it,
like that. That's really good. My brain's going
so
back to the boss, and I'm thinking to myself, well, how would he know? Does he call those sex hotlines?
right,
Like, well, how would you know?
exactly. Oh, so
Now,
you
you're
call
bringing
those
up a
lines
really good
often,
point.
huh?
Now, I like what you're bringing up, though. Like, calmly ask the person to point out what they're trying to accuse you of, or like, in the, like
Right.
what you said, like, well, help me understand it. At what point did you perceive that I was having an art trying to argue with you, or however you said
Right.
that was
And they
really
would have
good?
no answer.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
A couple notes I made to that question was just to remember, like we said already, hold on to your reality, let go of the urge to try to prove your point, because I think if we start getting drawn into that, I got to prove my point, I got to prove that I'm right, then we're going to start losing the game
Yep.
or the battle with the gaslighter. Don't try to fight or defend your reality, just hold on to it and then proceed from that position.
Right.
And then, I also put here, depending on what the situation is, there might be a need for boundaries and consequences. Because look, ultimately, again, depending on the situation, if there's someone who's just not wanting to take accountability for something that's pretty serious, and we know that they're just trying to gaslight, then at some point, like, what's the consequence to that person for not owning it, not taking responsibility, then it's like, then we have to ask ourselves, is this really a relationship we should be continuing in?
Right.
You know, again, it depends on the severity and the situation. And, you know, it's not always easy. Like, it's not always possible to go like totally no contact, like Michelle with your mom, right? I mean, she's always going to be your mom. So then.
Right. And I do. And I love her. I do. And I hope she never listens to this podcast. But but it's just my reality. It's true. I talk about my childhood. Even my sister Cass likes me. I don't think she knows she's doing it. But every time I bring stuff up to her, she's like, oh, that was in the past. Just let it go. Like, why are you still thinking about that? You know,
well, Michelle,
like,
let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
What are you wanting to get from your mom now that makes you bring that past up to her? Like, what is it that you're looking for?
Wow, that's a good question, because I really
are
don't
you
know.
Looking for her to to cave in and admit it?
No, you know, that's a good question. I ask myself that a lot, because I feel bad for her. I don't really want her, like, I don't want to like tell her the effects of what she, how she, you know, whatever she did to me. I don't want to hurt her. It's weird. It's like, I don't really think I want anything from her right now.
Then why are you bringing it up? Like what?
Well, I'm bringing it up, well, because we're doing the podcast on it, and I'm like, well, I have experience now. It's like, oh wow, that is gaslighting, and that's what I grew up with.
No, I mean with your mom. Like, why are you bringing it up with your mom if you don't think you're, you know, there's got to be a reason why you're going back to the past with your mom.
Like when you wrote that note about your mother-in-law, and then you're kind of tossing it at your mom to say, wow,
yeah,
you didn't do this for me. Like,
yeah, it's interesting.
What's
yeah,
your motivation to.
What? Yeah, I don't, that I don't. Yeah, it's a good one. I don't really know.
I mean, it could be that you just want her to admit she didn't do it, but.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've heard through the grapevine, through my sister, that, you know, my mother did say to her that I feel bad that I treated, you know, her that way. And she doesn't, you know, a day doesn't go by that she doesn't think about it. But she never, like, really called me up and said, I'm sorry. But I feel like, I don't know if I want that. I'm not really sure.
Like, so let's just go with that, right? So let's say your mom says she's sorry to you, because it sounds like maybe there's a part of you that's looking for an apology. Let's say you get the apology, then what are you going to do with it? Like, what part of you gets freed because you then get the apology?
That's a good question too. This is deep, man. That's why I'm in therapy. I'm trying to find
this is your
stuff
therapy
out.
Session.
Holy smoke. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. We don't even have to answer it now. It's just,
it's good. It's good. I like that. I like this. I like to think. I like to try to, I like asking me to pull, you know, pull stuff out. Cause that is a deep question. And it's something that I think about, you know, it's, I think I still have anger in there. I think that there's a part, like, I, you know, for me, I know that there's like a little part of me that is still hurt, you know, like the little Michelle. I know she's still hurt. And I think that once she gets healed, I, you know, you guys are in the therapy stuff. And if you agree with that, you know, I'm not crazy, right? Like, there is a little part of me, right? Like, I'm an adult, but I also still have my past, and that the little Michelle is holding on to that, the past, and holding on to the anger and the hurt, and wasn't heard, you know, when she was little. And I think, I don't know, like, if my mother apologized now, I guess, I mean, I think it's too late, but I'd say I forgive her. I love my mother now, and I would never want to hurt her. I don't want her to be hurt. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I answered that.
I was sort of just throwing it out there because there are other listeners who are in the same position you are, Michelle, where they listen to this podcast on gaslighting, and then they think to themselves, my mom or dad gaslights me. And maybe they find themselves in that same cycle where they're wanting something from that parent, like an apology, and then not getting it. Just offering that question for contemplation, to because you may never get it. And remember, people remember their past differently. So one remembers, another doesn't. You know, I had a client who we were working through forgiveness, and there was a family member who this individual was so hell-bent on getting an apology from. And I warned her and I said, look, forgiveness is something you do for you, and you don't need an apology to forgive. But it was, I said, it can be very dangerous because you can call that person and they can deny what happened, and then that could actually scratch the wound a little more and offer more hurt. You know, you'll experience. But long story short, that's exactly what happened. This individual reached out to this family member. It was a pretty significant thing that happened to this person, and this family member denied it 100%. Never happened. Probably did a little gaslighting. And this individual was rewounded again. And it just was like, it just totally enraged her even more. Like, I can't believe she doesn't remember that. You know, and it's like, well, this is why, you know, whether we get the apology or not, you know, forgiveness, you can be free in the vacuum or the absence of an apology. I mean, look, is it nice to get an apology? Sure. Is it nice for people to take accountability? Sure. And some people will, but just be careful when going into that arena. If, you know, if you want to confront someone from your past, family member or ex-boyfriend or something, and they totally deny what happened to you, doesn't make it any less real. Like Cheryl, like you were saying, it's how you feel. You were there, you were hurt. They want to say it never happened. Well, something happened. Something had to
Or you
happen,
make it a big deal out of it. Don't make a big deal, or it's like, oh
And
my
who's to
gosh.
say you get that apology and you don't even feel like it's legit or sincere anyway?
Oh, that's a
So
good
now
point.
what?
Yeah, they could just go, yeah, I'm
Right?
sorry. And they don't even mean it. Yeah.
I think the solace really comes in, how do I explain it? Holding on to your reality and your experience tightly is the solace, because if you let the gaslighter know that you're questioning whether it's real or not, or questioning your mental capacity, they kind of get away with doing what they did. But if you hold steadfast, I know this happened to me, or I know you said this, they have to live with that. They have to live with you're not changing your mind about it. Now, that doesn't really get you anything in terms of, a bonus point or something, but or from them, you don't get it, but they have to live with knowing that they didn't sway you.
Great, great point. So as we get ready to wrap this episode up, Cheryl, would you like to share with us the end of the movie Gaslight? What happens?
I gotta watch this movie now. I gotta
Drum
see
roll,
it.
please.
Oh boy.
Yeah, right. Tune out anybody who wants to watch the movie and not listen to the ending. But just in a tight nutshell, okay. Paula, the heiress wife, she now realizes that her husband Gregory has been manipulating her. And she turns the tables on him. In the final scene, Gregory has been tied to a chair by police. And when Paula enters the room, he instructs her to get a knife and cut him loose. But Paula gaslights him back by pretending that she's too mentally ill, a reality that he constructed for her. She's too mentally ill to carry out his instructions.
Interesting.
So, ta-da!
That's
She
great.
wins and he loses.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Right? And that is, in fact, that is another way to turn things on a gaslighter, right? Like to shut them down. Oh, well, hey, I can't do that because you told me I'm incompetent, right? Like if they ask you to do something, right? You could kind of turn things around, right? Hey, you're always telling me I'm too sensitive, so sorry.
Well, this has been great.
Why do you want my opinion? You told me I'm crazy.
Right. That's a good one. Why do you want my opinion if I'm crazy?
All of a sudden it matters.
Wow.
So yeah,
this is good. I really learned. I learned a lot. That's good.
Any final thoughts before we close, guys?
Well, I can end with a line I got from Dr. Robin Stern, who also has a lot of great stuff online. She works at the Yale Center, or runs the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence.
What's the Yale Center?
At Yale, the Yale University. Sorry.
Okay.
She writes, "You are the architect of your own reality. And if you're ever looking at the beams and walls and telling yourself, wait, is this not true? Then your gaslight is on."
Oh, wow.
And we didn't even get into how you can gaslight yourself, but that's kind of, you know, you can actually gaslight yourself. It's not just what other people do to you. Once you kind of get in that narrative with yourself where you're always questioning yourself, you will gaslight yourself. So don't question your own reality.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is the bottom line.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and Cheryl, what was this woman's name? Does she have a YouTube channel that we can also link?
Dr. Robin Stern.
Okay.
I read a lot on like Googling, but I didn't look in YouTube, so I'm not sure she has videos.
Okay. So people, if they want to find more information on her, just Google Dr. Robin Stern.
Stern. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, I think we could probably end on that. No, don't question your reality, right? That's hold on to your reality.
Like that.
Yeah, that is good.
Good stuff, guys.
Good stuff. All right.
Love it.
Listeners, thank you so much for joining us for this hour. Hopefully you also learned a little something about gaslighting, and let us all practice holding on to our reality. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Bye.
Thank you all.
Bye.